Backward in time. When we discuss Maxwell's theory, however, the scenario becomes much more complicated. When we solve Maxwell's equations for light, we find not one but two solutions. A retarded wave, which represents the standard motion of light from one point to another, but also an advanced wave, where the light beam goes backward in time. This advanced solution comes from the future and arrives in the past. For 100 years, when engineers have encountered this advanced solution that goes backward in time, they have simply dismissed it as a mathematical curiosity. Since the retarded waves so accurately predicted the behavior of radio, microwaves, TV, radar, and X-rays, they simply threw the advanced solution out the window. The retarded waves were so spectacularly beautiful and successful that engineers simply ignored the ugly twin. Why tamper with success? But for physicists, the advanced wave has been a nagging problem for the past century. Since Maxwell's equations are among the pillars of the modern age, any solution of these equations has to be taken very seriously, even if it entails accepting waves from the future. It seemed that it was impossible to totally ignore the advanced waves from the future. Why would nature, at this most fundamental level, give us such a bizarre solution? Was this a cruel joke, or was there a more profound meaning? Mystics began to take an interest in these advanced waves, speculating that they would appear as messages from the future. Perhaps if we could somehow harness these waves, we might be able to send messages back to the past, and hence alert previous generations of events to come. We could, for example, send a message back to our grandparents in the year 1929, warning them to sell all their stocks before the great crash. Such advanced waves would not allow us personally to visit the past, as in time travel, but they would enable us to send letters and messages into the past to alert people of key events that would not yet have occurred. These advanced waves were a mystery until they were studied by Richard Feynman, who was intrigued by the idea of going backward in time. After working on the Manhattan Project, which built the first atomic bomb, Feynman left Los Alamos and went to Princeton University to work under John Wheeler. Analyzing Dirac's original work on the electron, Feynman found something very strange. If he simply reversed the direction of time in Dirac's equation, the equation remained the same if he also reversed the electron charge. In other words, an electron going backward in time was the same as an anti-electron going forward in time. Normally, a mature physicist might dismiss this interpretation, calling it just a trick, a mathematical sleight of hand with no meaning. Going backward in time did not seem to make any sense, yet Dirac's equations were clear on this point. In other words, Feynman had found the reason that nature allowed these backward-in-time solutions. They represented the motion of antimatter. If he had been an older physicist, Feynman might have thrown this solution out the window. But being a lowly graduate student, he decided to pursue his curiosity further. As he continued to delve into this conundrum, the young Feynman noticed something even stranger. Normally, if an electron and an anti-electron collide, they annihilate one another and create a gamma ray. He drew this on a sheet of paper, two objects bumping into each other, turning into a burst of energy. But then, if you reverse the charge of the anti-electron, it became an ordinary electron going backward in time. You could then rewrite the same diagram with the arrow of time reversed. It now appeared as if the electron went forward in time, then suddenly decided to reverse direction. The electron did a U-turn in time and was now going backward in time, releasing a burst of energy in the process. In other words, it's the same electron. The electron-anti-electron annihilation process was just the same electron deciding to go backward in time.